And now, it's time for Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. For the next 2 hours, join Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Maxa, Corey Sandin, and this week's special expert guest for fishing information, new techniques to catch more fish, and the most current scoop on what's happening in the water. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup, and Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best. Shimano. Get ready for the fastest 2 hours on radio with the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
Good morning, anglers, and welcome to Let's Talk Hookup. I'm Wayne Cotto along with Corey Sandin. We're in the world headquarters of Let's Talk Hookup, right next to Fisherman's Landing in Point Loma. Pete and Ricky are out again. I'm taking personal time, and the backups are running the show again. We have a real good show this morning. We have Brian Wynn, Cigar Aficionado, and we're going to be talking fishing, bait, jigs, techniques, and a whole lot more. Stay tuned. This is Southern California's Sport Fishing Voice. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app, YouTube, and Facebook Live, and 97.3 The Fan.
Inside information is everything when it comes to catching fish in Southern California. You need a code group to connect with what's happening on the water. FishDope.com is your code group. Inside information available at your fingertips 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. FishDope.com really does help you catch more fish and burn less fuel. FishDope.com is the only fish finding service with a spotter plane, along with a crew of top anglers on the water almost every day that report actual locations and catches. They become your code group. You get daily catch reports from Point Conception to San Quintin, 365 days a year. FishDope.com has online planning tools, temperature and chlorophyll charts, hot bite icons, and more. Take it from me, if you don't have FishDope.com, you're not part of the in-the-know crowd. Membership is affordable and good for an entire year. Plus, use the special code and save $30 on a new FishDope.com membership. Check it out today. FishDope.com. Catch more fish, burn less fuel. Take a closer look at the Ford F-150. You'll see hard work, a great adventure, and so much more. Inside and out, it's designed for the family, the road trip, and the most demanding job. The 2025 Ford F-150, whether it's gas, hybrid, or the all-electric Lightning, find the truck that will meet your needs. From California's best-selling truck brand, the 2025 Super Duty, the rugged Ford Ranger, and the versatile Ford Maverick, it's time to see Ford in a new light. Visit your San Diego County Ford dealer today to see the great selection across the full truck lineup.
The top fleet and superb fishing is what Seaboard Sport Fishing in Mission Bay is all about. With free parking and fully stocked tackle shop, it's no wonder Seaboard Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Apollo, Outer Limits, Elgato Dos, Pride, Tribute Pacifica, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaport, Sea-Watch, and San Diego offer the finest half and full day trips available. Seaport Sport Fishing. For charters or regular open parties, schedule check seaportlanding.com. Run by fishermen for fishermen in Mission Bay.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup, and stoked to be in studio with Wayne, man. Wayne, Captain Seed, and
another day, buddy.
Yeah, dude, it's so cool, and just being in here with Brian Wayne. Good morning, Brian.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Yeah, Brian, man, your background, right? Promoter, educator, speaker of Medicare, and sport fishing, and cigars.
Yeah, yeah, I do a lot. I wear a lot of hats, but this is one of my favorite things that I love talking fishing. I can't talk anything else, well, except maybe Medicare, but I don't talk golf. I can't talk any of that stuff. I'd be lying to everyone if I tried, but fishing I love.
True to the passions in your life. Yeah.
We start adding up the kind of, you know, the last time I was here, we start adding up the totals of how long I've known Pete, but now, like, between you guys, that was, like, way back. I've known Wayne since, I don't know, Wayne.
Over 20 years?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Over 20 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Looks like we're having a little problem with the audio on Facebook, so I'm going to have to reset that one.
Are okay. We okay?
Gotta ahead. Love a live show, guys.
Dude, yeah. Totally love it, right? And I think I've known you maybe even longer than 20.
Yeah, I think just about, yeah. Yeah. Let's say you and I met when I was working with Shimano, and
yeah.
We just came out with Corrado 300.
I mean, that long ago. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's when you and I met. So when that thing first came out, gosh, I can't even remember how long that's been.
Yeah.
It's a blur.
But so your travels have taken you, like, I mean, you're like the jigging expert.
Well, I always tell people I'm not an expert. Yeah. I'm experienced.
There you
and
go.
So not an expert, just experienced. And what I offer are my opinions, but they are experienced opinions is what they are.
Well, I could tell you this. Whenever you're on, I love listening to you.
No, I appreciate it.
You carry an enthusiasm, you have the knowledge, and you love sharing it.
I love it. Yeah, yeah. It's what I live for.
Yeah.
It's what I live for.
But you're a great bait fisherman. You've got the knowledge of popper fishing.
You do it all. You do it all. You know, I'm not the best at any one thing. Hell, I'm not even good at any one thing, but I can check off most of the things on that list. I mean, I remember when you came out with the slug.
Right.
Or had that. And remember, we went fishing together on your boat. You know, because my mind is always open, and my eyes are always open, my ears are always open. I never close off to anything. I just know that if I can cast and I follow directions, you didn't have to guide me through any of that for any more than, 5 minutes? You know, to show me how to rig them, and then we had a great time. So I think adaptability has always been one of my strengths, as well as the fact that I am not, I wasn't born naturally talented, so I had to work 10 times harder than everyone just to get close.
Oh no, I think you just love fishing, period.
Yeah,
man.
I do.
So what's your favorite? I mean, tuna fishing, probably your?
No, believe it or not, my favorite has always been and will continue to be calico bass fishing.
Come on! Yeah?
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I love calico bass fishing. I like yellows too.
Yeah.
So I would say that those would be the two. I do enjoy tuna fishing. I don't know how else to put this, but I love it when it's challenging.
Right.
I love the character building tuna trips. You really have to angle, and you have to really pay attention to what's going on. And I like pushing myself.
You know, something that's really caught my attention in the last few years is that whole jigging thing.
Yeah.
Like that?
Yeah.
That gets bites when nothing else seems to, like, I mean, there might be a pick of a few fish, but, dude, you drop, I mean, I hear the stories, and also from you, and it all comes together.
Everybody can use bait, but bait isn't always the answer. And what I like about doing artificials, it's a reaction bite for one. It's two, you cover more ground.
Yeah.
Right? You can work a water column. You can work the depth. You can work. And that reaction bite, it just gets them so excited. It's finding the right tool to get them there. That's always been the trick. So whether or not you're using a swim bait, you're using a hard jig, you go vertical, you go slow pitch, fast. It's finding the one that works.
Yeah.
Right? That's why we have all these tools in the arsenal.
Yeah.
And I love that. That, to me, is why I love fishing. It's that science of trying to figure out what's going to work.
Yeah, and that one does. There's a lot of experimentation that goes on, and there's a lot of downgrading that actually happens.
Downgrading line or jig size?
Yeah, the whole thing. Yeah. Like, I'll give you an example. I unless the boat tells me, I like to have as many hooks as possible. Believe me, if I can have my jig looking like a hook buffet, I probably would do it. But the thing is, obviously if the boats tell you no, then that's fine too. Here's what I will do, or when I say downgrading, I'll have a jig, for example, that has all the hooks on it that you can imagine. And if I'm having a hard time getting bit, I keep on downgrading. I'll remove hooks and keep on doing that, because it does affect the presentation of the jigs. So if I have twin assist hooks on the top and twin assist hooks on the bottom, you'll see me sometimes I'll remove the top, or sometimes I will keep on going where I'll go one and one. I'll remove the one on the bottom sometimes and just run one hook on the top. And then we start to work on the line size. Now, it's not maybe as important. You don't have to do this as much at night, but it's that daytime game where you're constantly looking to see how you can affect the presentation. And we start off as heavy as possible. You know, I like to say we get them with the Metallica first, and then see if we can't work them into the Kenny G at the end.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. So those are a lot of the ways that we downgrade, even on the rods. You know, you take a rod that's rated for a particular line rating, say a PE 4 to 8 that a PE 6 to 10, which is what we fish a lot at night. Now the 6 to 10, a 300 gram, it'll jig just fine, or it'll activate is what I like to use that word. But you switch it over to a PE 4 to 8, which is the next level down on rod size, and it will activate the 300 gram even better.
Really?
See, so that's how we keep on, I guess, adapting and downgrading, if you will. I call it downgrading to upgrade.
That makes sense.
And so, yeah, so that's the way that it goes in the world of jigging. So everything, every little bit makes a difference. Take a look at the slope pitch, guys. I mean, for them, it's unheard of to fish of any braid that's heavier than 50 pound because they're every little bit. Oh, every little bit of drag, anything
and think
like
about
that.
Think about that line size. We're talking 50-pound braid, which used to be 10-pound mono size, right, approximately. And they're going down to 20, 30-pound. It's thread.
Yeah.
Literally thread, right?
And
they're saying that affects. But when you're in the slow pitch and you're using such a small jig, you get it, right? Every bit affects the flutter. Now, the question is, not only are you doing the braid, but what are you using for a leader? Is it a long leader, short leader, mono, fluorocarbon?
No.
All that makes a difference, too.
Big difference. And so, yeah, that's you know, so there is a big difference, of course, as well. I get a lot of questions sometimes. Hey, Brian, what's a good slow pitch rig for bluefin tuna fishing at night? I says, none, because we're not using slow pitch gear, right? It is jigging gear. I guess by today's standards, we could call it the speed jigging gear or the heavier equipment, but slow pitch, when you take a look at what they're doing with that, you're all the three B's it'll work for. And, but if you tie into a bluefin on it, maybe one of say 40 pounds or less, you probably be okay. And there are success stories out there of a guy going in there and catching 100 pounders on it. I wouldn't want to do it on the slow pitch.
The tribute, right? Mike calling in. He's like, yeah, we're into this little schooly 20-pound fish, and everybody pulled down their 20, 25-pound.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a 40. Oop, there's a bigger one in. Zing pow, right?
Right, exactly.
The question is, you roll up to the rail, and you're coming up to a school of fish.
Yeah.
You don't know what's on there.
Yep.
What do you grab?
Yeah, I tell people, popper fishing in my seminars, popper fishing on sport boats, I said, you know, the luxury of popper fishing is you get to choose what you cast to. I says, you know what's the worst part? They go, what? I says, what you actually can't decide what comes up and bites it.
Yeah.
So you can see a school of 40 pounders and you're like, man, I've got them. And then out of nowhere, I had that happen one on a 16 day on the Star 1 year. We were thinking it was small fish. I think at that time we were prototyping the Shimano, the Torsta, when I was working with Shimano, the Torsta 40. And so I says, oh, they're not very big. So I threw that out. And I saw the boil come up on the 13. Yeah. I think we were just outside of the buffer zone, or way outside of the buffer zone. And I got the splash on that thing was huge.
Cannibal.
And that was it. I got smoked. That's the first time ever that I got smoked on a reel. And you can say the old drag and do that, but I'm telling you right now, there was not even time to think about drags.
When they double pull. I was down in Clarion on a 14 day.
Yeah.
Brand spanking new when Penn came out with that 16 VSX, right?
Yeah.
And I had it, and we were under 100 pound fish, no problem. And everybody's like 30 wides, 50s, you know, back then. And I dropped that 16 back, and it got picked up.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, okay, no, that's full dump. I had to call for a backup on a brand new 16 in the water. And, you know, when you go backup on that, it's like, oh, man, now what? Because the backup back then were Penn Senators, right?
Did you make sure, Wayne, on that fish you pushed the lever up?
Oh, it was.
Sorry, guys. We've known each other for way too long. I'm going to try. Yeah. We're going to try to keep it calm here.
Yeah. Try to keep it on the rails.
Right.
Oh, too funny.
Oh, man, yeah. The stories that could be told from the fishing, right?
Yeah.
Where you just make that mistake. The thing that I like is I like the artificial because I'm going to throw heavy first because I can work water column, right?
Right.
I can get it up. If the surface spot, I can throw it and pull it across. But if not, I can let it sink out a little bit. Yeah. It'll flutter down. The question is, you know, nowadays we're using all the slow pitch and on the faster, and everything is twin assist hook.
Yeah.
When do you switch from the treble hook to the assist hooks, right?
Yeah.
But if you're pulling a jig, it's always going to be the treble. That's what I run. But when do you not? Why can't you have a treble on the bottom and assist on the top?
The reason why I don't go out and tell anybody to, hey, just be like strictly speed jigging, you know, bring nothing but those outfits. I think that one of the best ways to speak on that would be what we were talking about earlier, where we said, hey, sometimes there are going to be those nights and those days where you just have to get a bite. you know, is what I like to say. And you're going to have to apply a little bit more finesse. The gear might look like it's finesse. You see the rods are real thin and the small reels. They're actually quite powerful for what they are.
Absolutely.
So as far as your question is concerned, well, when do we go with the treble? Well, why don't we use the treble? Well, here's the thing. When I fish, I prepare for when they're not going to bite well. You see, that way, even though if they do bite well, then lucky, lucky me, and they'll still eat whatever it is that I'm putting in front of their faces. But the treble hook, it does change the action. Now, when we talk about action, there can be people that will call, they'll call in the day and they'll tell me about eddy bombs. Well, yeah, that's nighttime. And nighttime, the emphasis, in my opinion, is more a timing thing. You select the size and the weight jigs and things like that and the profile, not based on necessarily action, not to say that it doesn't matter, but it's really timing. But that treble hook, you got to kind of think about, you've got this kind of, you know, we're all West Coasters here fishing the iron and, you know, we've got that big old treble hook on the bottom. Something, they're going to sacrifice something. So is there a chance maybe, you know, guys, I understand the reason, there's the one reason that, you know, guys like to use the treble hook is because they feel that it does slow the fish's fighting spirit down. But one of the things about the treble hook, about any of the style hooks when we're fishing those vertical jigs, is the reason for the assist hook, and a lot of people don't realize this, but, you know, when that jig is sinking, right, and you've got a welded ring, West Coast style, a welded ring with a, you know, a big old, you know, Southern style tuna hook on the bottom or a treble hook. As the jig is sinking, the hook comes swinging up and it pins itself to the jig. Now, we have no bloody clue how those things are biting them, but we just know sometimes you can have, I told you about my buffet of hooks, of my dream. Sometimes they'll even miss that.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
And so you don't know. We used to think, if you guys recall, I think when this stuff started to go off in like 2016, the thought was is that they track them. So they're following them down, and then once they decide to commit, well, now we figured it out that they're down there. And if, depending on their mood that night, or that, you know, it'll tell you whether or not they're biting good or not, or it's going to be a character builder. But when you have that hook that's pinned to the jig, now he opens up, he flares out his gills, he opens up and he swallows the jig. And hooks, in general, you hook them on the way out. Hence, when you get bit on a bait, turn the handle, right? And so if you've got the hook pinned to the jig, so what you're expecting, your hope is that as you wind up, it's going to unpin itself.
Everything falls into
That's
place,
right.
hopefully.
That's correct.
Yeah.
So there's that. Whereas on the assist hook with the Kevlar cord, I like to call that nature's swivel. It keeps the bar or the point of the hooks engaged a lot more. In any position, you're going to find that those barbs are engaged into that fish's mouth or wherever it is. You have a higher probability of things lining up, as opposed to the big hooks on the bottom having to swing out. And
amazing to see a double assist top and bottom,
yeah,
where the one hook's in the mouth and the other's on the outside of the gill somewhere.
Yeah.
And it shocked the heck out of me because you wouldn't assume that swinging hook, a single hook, mm-hmm. swinging on the outside, would have a chance to get hooked up that way. The odds of it coming around and getting the barb in, it seems so odd to me, right? But it's because I think when we're fighting the fish, they're shaking their head and they're ramming that jig against their head.
Yeah, right? And
it's a secondary.
It's a secondary. Yeah, it's not absolutely. The primary hook.
Completely, I see it.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, and I've had it where, you know, it's bottom hooks only. And like I said, guys, I'm like the last one to ever complain. You tell me what to do, and I'm good. But I'll go with bottom hooks only, and I'm thinking, okay, I'm good. You know, and then what happens? I get bit. I wind up the jig. I got a gash mark on the top.
You know, just go figure, right?
Yeah. So,
well, technically, right? What do they say? A fish swallows a fish head first.
Yeah.
They try.
Well,
right?
I mean,
they try.
Yeah.
That's school of thought.
Yeah.
The other side of it is this is just from the sport boat side. If you have to work on the sport boat and you're the guy that's bringing up and having to unhook the fish, and you got those big jigs and you got a hook on the top and the bottom, they don't like it. Because then you got a swinging hook sometimes,
right.
On a hot fish, and it's dangerous, right?
Yep.
So they tell you, please only put it either top or bottom.
Yep.
From the sport guy working on the boat, I understand the safety side of that.
Yeah. And yeah, I will abide.
Right? Exactly. Yep. Hey, we're stoked to have you in studio.
Oh, thank you.
Good friend.
I'm happy to be here.
Of ours, good friend of the show. And we're stoked to have you for the next 2 hours, man. And if anybody wants to join us, we're going to be on the fan. We've got Jeff waiting for your call. Hamby can be reached at 833-288-0973. That's the number there to the fan. Jeff's waiting for you. Again, 833-288-0973. I'm sure you've got a question for Brian, whether it's fish in, right? Popper fish in, and you even do Medicare, right? I mean,
yeah.
That's your main.
No, that's the full-time job. Right. I had to leave the fishing industry after 24 years to grow up and get a real job.
Yeah, you actually had to go make some money.
Yeah, I had to do that. But, that's the full-time gig, guys. And
that's all good. Yeah. So next 2 hours with Brian Nguyen in studio. And again, the telephone number, 833-288-0973. Or you can text us via the app. A lot of text coming in already. And if you do so, make sure you leave your name and telephone number. At the end of the show, Brian's going to flip the prize coin. And one lucky winner is going to have a trip on the San Diego out of Seaforth. And, dude, did you see their fishing yesterday?
The counts were nice yesterday. Oh, they got into the bluefin.
Right? I mean, all the full-day trips and even the overnight trips and day-and-a-half trips all had.
And the quality's coming back up.
Yes.
It's not always just a schoolie fish anymore.
Yeah, right. All had near limits of bluefin tuna, a little sprinkle of yellowfin in there.
Yellowfin, yellowtail.
Exactly. So it's all good stuff. So somebody's getting that trip on to San Diego, and explain to us the prize package that you've brought, Brian. That's
going
to go along with it.
Yep. So there, I brought a secondary prize here. I like to, because I do a lot of seminars, I call them workshops. I do a lot of seminars. Yes. I do a lot. I do my own webinars that I have, as well as one-on-one sessions with folks. So I like to say that I help provide tools to the anglers for their to help them with their on-the-water success. Well, I'm going to give you a bag of tools here. These are custom wrapped, very high quality pliers.
I see duck bills in there.
Yeah, there's duck bills as well as the side cutters. So you get that set. They're wrapped with paracord, Turk's heads on the ends,
Jose
coated.
Ortega.
Jose
this.
Ortega. Yep. You
so
guys can.
Cool.
Yep. Look, if Jose has been in the industry
for as long
as I have, I think.
Right.
And so he's doing these custom wrapped pliers now. You can find them at Flipside Pliers, I think it's what it's called. Flipside Pliers on Instagram. And then I've got rod ties that I made that I tied up here as well. So you're getting more tools from the guy who provides anglers tools.
How about that? So one lucky winner's going to win that along with the trip on the San Diego.
And by the way, I forgot to tell you, I also have my decals that I'm giving. They are dishwasher safe.
Oh, there it is. All right, hey, we're going to be right back on not only 97.3 The Fan, but YouTube, Facebook Live, and at Let's Talk Hookabout.
One Rod has set the standard for serious saltwater anglers worldwide, and that's CalStar. From the rugged dependability of the West Coast series, the lightweight strength of the Graphiter, or the performance of the GG series, all CalStar rods are handmade right here in Southern California of the finest materials and craftsmanship. Check out the new CalStar models now available, as well as upgrades to the classic rods that you know and love. If you want your tackle to be state-of-the-art tools to get the job done right, it's CalStar at fine tackle dealers.
For local or long-range fishing, we have you covered. Hi, this is Doug Kern from Fisherman's Landing Tackle, the saltwater tackle professionals. Being a part of the San Diego Sport Fishing Landing gives us a distinct advantage when it comes to getting you on the latest and hottest tackle for your trip. Our expert staff knows exactly what you need for your long-range or local trip, and we will not sell you something you don't need. We carry a huge inventory of the right tackle. So visit us at Fisherman's Landing Tackle at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego.
Hi, this is Christy Wheeler with Dawson & Associates Insurance, your full-service agency specializing in boat insurance, including charter, commercial, and personal use boats, business insurance, and travel insurance. We work hard to get you the most coverage for the best prices and guarantee the lowest rates available on all the travel plans we offer. So give us a call today at Dawson & Associates Insurance at 619-460-5615 for a free quote today.
Hello, this is Captain Mike Totter from Surger Sport Fishing. Alongside my colleague, Chef Josh Evans, and our dedicated team, we invite you to join us aboard the Surger. Our fishing trips range from day and a half to 8 days, available May through November and include charter options. We're committed to upholding a legacy of top-notch customer service, delicious food, and a friendly and talented crew. Book your fishing adventure online at searchforsportfishing.com or call Rachel at 619-226-2403. That's searchforsportfishing.com. We look forward to welcoming you aboard.
Power your boat with Norsk Lithium, the ultimate choice for marine adventures. Our batteries deliver unmatched starting, trolling, and electronics power, packed with cutting-edge technology like Deep Sleep to eliminate phantom draw. Built with rugged BCI-compliant cases, they're designed to handle the toughest conditions on the water. Stay in control with the Norsk Guardian app. Monitor performance, track battery health, and unlock advanced features right from your phone. Charge with confidence using EvoTech onboard and DC-to-DC chargers for fast, efficient, and hassle-free power management. Designed for maximum compatibility, these chargers keep your entire system running at peak performance, so you're always ready for the next trip. With a 10-plus-2-year non-prorated warranty, you can trust your batteries to perform for years to come. Our industry-leading warranty ensures you get the most out of your investment. With dedicated customer support if you ever need it, upgrade your marine power today. Set up your custom system at NorskLithium.com or visit Trolling Motor Doctor in Lakewood. Norsk Lithium. No matter where the adventure takes you, we've got you powered.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup, and man, having Brian Nguyen in studio and the cigar
aficionado,
right? There it is, man. And we're giving away a full day trip on the San Diego with a prize pack that Brian's also brought in to one lucky caller or texter. And if you want to join us, the lines are completely full at the fan, but when somebody does drop off, 833-288-0973. And if you're sending a text via the app, make sure that you do leave your name and telephone number.
Yeah, if you don't put your name and phone number, you're not in for the drawing.
Like Pete says, no prize for you.
Right. Let's take a caller.
Let's do that. How about Alex? Alex calling from San Carlos. Good morning, Alex.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
First, I just want to thank Brian. He's been super helpful all the time. I mean, I'll drop him a question on Instagram or give him a call, and he'll help me out with my dad's Medicare and stuff like that. So he's always just really happy to just educate everybody, which is awesome.
I appreciate that. Thanks.
I do have a quick question. You know, the other day I took out a new spinning speed jigging setup on a full day, and I mean, I didn't skimp on the gear at a Pan Authority 7500, Shimano Type J jigging rod, but there's something about it. Like I couldn't really work the jig on the spinning setup the same way I could with the conventional. And I wasn't really sure if it's just because of like the way the reel's placed versus on a conventional. I don't know if you can give me any feedback on that.
Yeah. I think that what's happened is believe it or not, vertical jigging with conventional gear, it's not actually conventional. The guys, when you go back east, you see that they do it all. They do a lot of it with spinning gear.
Even in Asia, too.
Even
right?
In Asia.
Yeah.
And the spinning gear it's more of a natural rhythm to it. Okay, when you're using when you're using spinning.
Is it the amount of line that you're picking up?
No, it's not that. It's actually the sheer motion of it is one. Number two, the balance of it is different. The weight being on the bottom versus the weight being on the top. So yeah. With a conventional reel. So I think what's happened to a lot of our guys is to you, Alex, is you jumped ahead of the class by starting with conventional gear, which is the oddball. And so when it comes to spinning gear, something that we're not quite used to. I find myself sometimes having to catch myself on the rail when I'm using a spinner. I go, oh, wait, you know, this is the way that it goes. So just what I would recommend is to slow down first and just start, like, just to get the motion right, because it's a lift and a turn. It's a smooth, it's a flow to it, whereas with a conventional gear, it's a stop and go, stop and go. On spinning gear, it's a flow.
Well, here's the first question. Are you using a right-handed conventional and a left-handed retrieve on the spinning?
Yeah.
But that's not everybody can go both hands.
Yeah.
That's why people switch the hands on the spinning to the right side, because it's you're training your arms to do certain motions, right? So if you are like a bass fisherman, a lot of us have switched to left-handed bass retrieve because you don't have to switch the hands. You're throwing with your right, you're spinning with your left, right? You're retrieving. So when you go to conventional and you're switching back the other way, that motion isn't necessarily the same. And so you don't feel comfortable when you're on spinning gear doing that. It's your arms. You're not trained that way. you might switch back to the right-handed retrieve on your spinning gear, and it might feel more comfortable to you, or vice versa, go to a left-handed retrieve on your conventional and test that. No. Just borrow one from somebody.
To every problem, there is a solution. Yeah. Like for me personally, I can't fish a spinning reel with the handle on the right side. It feels very odd.
No.
But with that being said, I hope that answers your question, Alex. I would say just to slow down and get the nitty gritty of the actual jigging motion, and then you can start to work on speeding up. Because what you'll find, there is a reason why spinning is so popular, especially in the speed jigging realm. Just, I mean, the motion itself, it's such a flow. And you can go super fast with a spinning gear, which is why, again, it's popular in Asia and every other part of the most other part of the U.S.
But I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Brian, I think the whole thing in like in Asia and maybe the East Coast too, but Asia for sure, they're not catching 80 to 150 pound tuna. Like they're targeting fish under 20 pounds.
Well,
really,
actually, they are the guys back
they
in
okay?
like they're targeting jumbo
back
bluefin
east
with that
Asia.
Thing. Yeah, back east.
That was back east. Okay.
And you know, and again, one of the classes, one of the live kind of one-on-one sessions that I offer is I call it the science and mechanics of efficient fish fighting, and we have there is a spinning element to it, and I teach folks how to fight bigger fish on spinning gear. When we're the guys back east, you know, we're fishing on smaller boats. They're able to position a little differently than us on a stationary vessel, such as a sport boat. So we have a couple of challenges, but we can address those challenges if we understand what it is that is going on. So the fight has never been that much of an issue for me on spinning gear, because the thing to note that we have to understand about spinning gear is that on a conventional, you can turn the handle. You'll get bit on a Wahoo or a Yellowtail, right, on the surface there, and everybody's hooting and hollering.
It's
you
a
can
second
feel,
nature,
right? You can turn the handle against drag. You can't do that on spinning gear. You actually have to, I say, unload the rod tip, but you have to unload the pressure off of that reel in order to get a turn on the handle. So there is a science and a mechanic to it, and that's one of the things that I teach in my one-on-one workshops that I do for free, mind you, for free.
Right.
So how
does somebody follow you like that? I mean,
just very easy. They can go follow me on Instagram, which is at the Cigar Aficionado, AFISHINADO, Aficionado.
Yeah.
And as well, they can just go onto my website. I make it super easy, by the way, my website. I even took out the www portion of it. Don't type it in because it don't work. So just go mhlis.com. There are two banners on there. One says Ask Me About Medicare, and the other one says Ask Me About Fishing. Click one of them. I'll gladly answer any of those questions.
You're such an awesome guy, Brian.
I'm trying.
I'm gonna say that from my heart.
I'm trying.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Let's take another call.
Let's do that. How about Matt? Matt calling from La Mesa. Good morning, Matt.
Hey, good morning, guys. So I have a Therese rail rod, which I absolutely love. It's an awesome rod to use in the wintertime for cod fishing down at Colonnette and obviously bluefin at night up here. My question is, it's 7'2". How did you guys come to that conclusion that that was the sweet spot for a rail rod? Because back in the day, we didn't really have rail rods, and the perfect size tuna rod used to be like 5.5-6 feet long.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting, right? I
mean,
so I think back in the day, like when we were all younger, right, in the younger day, it was not cool to put your rod on the rail. Like,
nobody put it on the rail because of IGFA. Everybody wanted to get a world record, right?
So
you were all stand-up, right? It was sin to put it on the rail. So short rods were the ticket because the one was on the bend and we were belting. Everybody put it in a belt, a harness, and all that kind of stuff to fight a fish. We've gone away from that. Nobody cares about that anymore. We put them on the rail. To put it on the rail, you need a longer rod because what happens is when the fish goes under and makes the circle, you want to keep the line away from scraping on the boat.
It just makes it more efficient with a 7 foot.
I think as well, though, there is something that maybe a lot of people don't think about. The longer the rod, the more material you have in the rod. Therefore, look at the rods these days. You mentioned the Therese, but you guys had Johnny and from CalStar on last week. The longer, there's more material in them, so the power these days that these rods have versus, you know, what I mean, I still remember fishing 64, 65 double XHs as my, as a rail rod with roller guides on them. So they're more powerful. They're lighter because of the technology. But when you have that much more material, you've got that much more working for you. So now when you're sometimes I've even seen like the rods are almost for some, they're too powerful and they recoil so fast. People are getting burnt out just trying to keep up with the rod tip is just how amazing our technology is. But yeah, that's always been one of the things that has been in my head where I go, there's more material in them. So that means more of it is working for you when you're laying it on the rod. Laying it on the rail. So, yeah, that's 7 foot. I don't know when it became standard. I think Seeker was probably one of the first ones with that 2x4, if I'm not mistaken. And then it kept growing and kept growing again.
It started a whole new phase, yeah. Right?
Now there's 7, 8, 8 foot. Gary Tarioka is one. He likes like 8 foot extra heavy, 130 or unlimited rods. And
why
you know.
Does it just sound so unfriendly to me? 8 plus.
At some point, it's going to be like a seesaw and you're going to get pulled over the rail. And right. You have it too long. I'm not big enough for one of those rods.
You mentioned CalStar. Uh-huh. It's so awesome. Like, if you listen to that show, you can go back on the archives and listen to that show. Yeah. Chris is taking CalStar to a place, I'm not going to say where they had never been, but he's taken them beyond where they could have been, right?
Yeah. He's open to all the different types and technology, and he's listening to
talking to all the boys, man.
Yeah. He's one of us, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they're on all the trips, too. And he sees and he hears and he listens and he's willing to try. And that's
some
great.
Of the jigging stuff they're working with too.
Yeah, I haven't seen that yet, but one of my fondest memories of Mr. Chris Yamada is on a Clipperton trip and he holstered up a power drill. And he had put a range to have a socket welded onto the handle of his Trinidad 20, the gold ones at that
okay.
time. And so he would cast his Wahoo bomb or a Wahoo jig out.
Come on.
And he lets it sink and he puts the reel in gear and he'll put
that.
And
it's so funny.
And as soon as he gets bit, you know that noise, right? Like
he had an impact hammer.
Yep. And then he'd reholster.
Are you kidding?
I'm not kidding you.
I wish we had video of that. That would be so funny.
Yeah.
The beginning of an electric reel.
Yeah.
And the only people that had that back then were the guys on the boat because they would pull on the kite with it.
Yep.
Right? They have the drill up there and they put a bolt on it and stuff.
Yeah.
But that would be so funny to watch Chris on the rail do
it. I can visualize the whole thing.
Exactly. I can too.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Do you have a texter, Corey?
There's so many texts coming in. It's awesome and it's good. And I do have, I've got a few of them picked out for sure. And let me get to one here. This one, good morning, Wayne, Corey, and Brian. What a ton of knowledge being thrown out in this morning's show. My question is on tungsten jigs.
Yeah.
Do you put the assist hooks on the top, bottom, or both? And do you go with a heavy 200-pound bite leader or 100-pound top shot? Thanks, guys. It comes from Mike in San Diego.
Good question, Mike. The tungsten jigs, I like the top hook, just a single or a twin top hook. On them. I think that just you get a better, hookup ratio on that, with just the top hooks on there. And then as far as your question on the bite leaders are concerned, I think that the bite leaders, this is kind of interesting here. Bite leaders, when we use the speed jigging outfits, there is no bite leader. It's straight tied. Okay. But when I talk to people about using their rail rods for bluefin fishing, that's when I will recommend some sort of a bite leader, whatever configuration you want. I do something a little bit different where I use a short wind-on leader of the whatever the bite leader I want to use. So say for example, on a rail rod, I will have a 15-foot wind-on leader of 150 or 200 pound on there. I think that the connection, without having all the swivels and things like that, it does affect the presentation. But here, the thing is, on the rail rod, because when we get bit on a jigging rod, for example, okay, there is no just turn the handle on it. What happens if you just keep turning the handle, the rods, they go bend, 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 bend. At some point, they'll stop, and then you'll get to bury the hooks into them. But what I recommend is that when you get bit on a jigging rod, you have to keep, it's almost as if you're mechanically jigging them. You just can't stop. As soon as you get bit, just lift the rod and keep turning the handle as fast as you can. Now, when the question that I get on that is, when do you stop? I don't know. If it comes to gap in 10 seconds, just happy, right?
When you can't, do it
when
anymore.
You can't do it anymore.
You're happy, but the two deckhands waiting in the gap.
Both fish come to the boat hot.
But now, on a railroad, you've got all that recoil, all this power that's going on. So when you turn the handle, it's actually keeping up.
Yeah.
So what happens is that when you, you have to almost have the bite leader because it'll zing that fish. It'll stick that fish almost anywhere now. There's not enough time. It doesn't give the jig or the hook enough time to make its way out into an appropriate area in their mouth.
You explain things so well. It's awesome. And, man, we're going to go to break, but when we come back, I want to talk more about it. We're going to be right back, and let's talk hook up not only on 97.3 The Fan, but on YouTube, Facebook Live, and the Let's Talk Hook Up app.
Captain Jamie Tennis from Season Sport Fishing here. For the past few seasons, a dart-style metal jig has come into play in a big way for tuna offshore or even rockfish down deep. APCO's Crossbreed jig has quickly become the go-to for many since it came onto the market. APCO's Crossbreed jig is good to go right out of the package with a 4X treble hook, heavy-duty slit rings, West Coast colors, and sizes 60 gram to 120 gram. Pick one up today at your local tackle store or learn more on APCO.com.
Lobster season is here, and success starts with the right gear. And no one does it better than Promar. Based in SoCal, Promar's Ambush Series hoop nets and accessories are trusted by the most dedicated lobster fishermen on the coast. If you're a serious lobster fisherman or a beginner, Promar makes the gear and shares the information you need to be successful on the water. Promar, the name behind more lobster limits than any other. Visit promarihe.com to gear up today.
Don't be the last one to get one, especially now. The new Brutus Pacific Pro from Ace Line Hauler. You can catch more lobster and pull deeper with the Ace Line Hauler, so you can get those bugs in the boat. Easy to store and low power draw. The Ace Line Hauler is the highest quality and certainly the best on the market. Just ask a friend that has one. Get the new Brutus Pacific Pro by Ace Line Hauler today. Buy now at better fishing stores near you.
Fish are biting and it's time to go. Hi, this is Ben, and you will see me at my dad's shop, Dana Landing in Mission Bay, or maybe in front of the shop on my kayak. It doesn't matter if you are out there on a kayak with me, on your boat, headed out on a sport boat. Dana Landing has everything you need. We call it the one-stop shop for a great day on the water, because it truly is. Food, bait, tackle, beverages, and more. Our tackle shop, headed by John, is certainly one of the best. For freshwater tackle, nothing beats East County Bait and Tackle. These guys have the best rods and reels and the hottest lures and live bait. Our newest shop is Lemon Grove Bait and Tackle with a great stock of both fresh and saltwater tackle right in the heart of Lemon Grove. ECBT is at the end of the 67 freeway on Mapleview and Lakeside. Lemon Grove Bait and Tackle, 94 to Broadway in Lemon Grove, and Dana Landing is next to the Dana Launch Ramp in Mission Bay. Check out DanaLanding.com for more details.
The reels that Southern California anglers have been waiting for are here. Shimano is proud to introduce the all-new Talica 40A and 50A reels. The Talica series is Shimano's flagship two-speed lever drag reel. It sits at the very pinnacle of the offshore world. Shimano has increased the fishability of the larger Talica models by reducing rotational resistance at high drag and improving durability in critical positions within the reel. The all-new Talica 40A and 50A now boast Infinity Drive, which employs two drag washers housed on the side of the reel, allowing for an ultra-smooth, powerful drag system, while at the same time increasing winding power under a load by as much as 40%. The new Talica is built around a more compact, cold-forged machine aluminum one-piece frame. Plus, there's also a new higher high gear built with a Southern California angler in mind. The new Talica 40 and 50A are available now at your local Shimano dealer.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hook Up, and just so stoked to be in here with Brian. Good guy, good all-around guy. Shares the information, does it all, and
so much knowledge.
Pretty amazing, man. I mean, we were just talking
about... And he's kind of a nice guy, too, you know?
Right, kind of, right? But we were talking about live bait fishing, and, I mean, it's something that, as a sport fisherman, has to be in your arsenal, right? I mean, that's...
Yeah, you know, I'm going to tell you, the smallest section at a tackle shop is the most important, the hook.
And you say the smallest, right? Because
I've been to some walls that aren't the smallest.
Right, but you could fit live bait hooks in a...
In one area.
A 3x3.
Right, but the rest is lures and things like that, right?
Yeah,
and, you know, but
all the glitter.
I say, the joke I make, the smallest area in the shop is by far the most important.
Come on, it's shiny and it's candy.
Right.
And not everybody can, like, pendulum cast a bait.
Yeah.
Proficiently.
No. And, you know, I did recently three Saturdays, I call it Casting Academy, the Cigar Aficionados Casting Academy. No charge. So all they had to do was come by 8:30 a.m. Sorry.
Where do you do this?
I did this in San Gabriel Valley
by my
house.
Okay.
Yeah, so we did it. It was a 90-minute session where they would come. And I originally set out to do overhead casting, then underhand casting, and then the underhand snap cast. You remember the old school?
Absolutely.
How we used to cast big 30s and stuff for sardines. What I found is that the overhead pendulum cast takes up a lot of that time. So maybe the next ones I'll just do overhead. But my point is that I offered this. It's a 90-minute session. And what I am most proud of is that when the students come, we do six at a time only. I know people, I would love to do more. But, you know, to be fair to everyone, I can't teach 12, 20 people at a time.
Right.
But the six, that's already pushing it. But I can spend the time needed with them. And when we are done, the 90 minutes is up. I have a little casting nubbin that I have made. It weighs about 14 to 15 grams. So think about this for a minute. A sardine weighs anywhere from 40 to 70. An anchovy is 1.4 to 4. Yes, I'm a nerd.
You got it all figured out. Man.
So, but this guy here is lighter than the sardine, and it's heavier than an anchovy, and that doesn't break windows. And I have the guys go out, and that's what we have tied on. The first, yesterday, I had one of my students go, "That's way too light. This is probably not going to happen." By the end, it's like, here we go. Whatever he brought, you know, I tell them to bring their 25 and 30 pound outfits, and some of them, you know, they're dead set on using their 40 and 50 pounds. So whatever, I'm not gonna say anything. They come out and we have them casting, and they start to understand the pendulum cast and why it's so important. See, I actually show them an example. I have them stand a quite a bit of ways, and I'll make a snap cast.
Oh, yeah.
And when the bait hits the ground, I said, not only can you hear it. Right? Because they're going to, right?
How many scales fell off?
Right. So that's why, exactly. So I said, now your bait. I says, given the bait situation that we had this year, I says, if it's already in bad shape, if you've glittered up the water with scales, you made a bad, a mediocre bait even worse. So I show them then the pendulum cast. And I have them listen with their ears to the ground and see how many times it bounces on the pavement. And they're shocked sometimes. As well, the pendulum cast, think about it for a minute. You know, when Tom Brady throws a foot-long pass, if that football starts to tumble in midair, we have a problem. If a 50-yard pass all of a sudden turns into a 30-yard pass. So the pendulum cast, what I let them know is you minimize the tumbling. Obviously, a sardine, for example, it's doing its thing out there. But by minimizing that tumbling, it enters the water. You maximize the distance. You maximize the forward trajectory that you've created. As well, it enters the water nice and gentle.
Less momentum and an easy entry just
correct.
Equates to a healthy bait.
Yep.
Well, here's a question. You can hook a bait through the nose.
Yeah.
You can collar hook. You can butt hook. You can, you know, there's all the different technique. Do you change your cast based on how you're hooking your fish, your bait?
I will change the amount of, as Frank would say, English that I will put on a cast.
Yeah.
I do not change the style of casting. And I will, on one stop, go at it. When Captain Jim Hughes comes on here, you can ask him how much bait I go through on one stop. I have five methods that I like to hook my baits, and I will go through five baits
until you find the one that works
to get the result that I want. So I'm a notorious bait waster. But with that being said, no, I change the amount of English that I will put on the cast, but it is going to be a pendulum cast, or it's going to be an underhand cast, not an underhand lob or an underhand drop.
That's what I think a lot of people lose sight of, Brian, is they want to get that long cast. But sometimes if you're not confident, just that underhand, get a 10 feet from the boat.
Yes.
Let the bait
Something.
Swim is more important.
Yeah.
Right.
Hey, I bet somebody on hold there knows a little bit about bait fishing. right?
Absolutely.
Right? We got Brian Woolley from Dana Wharf Sport Fishing, and it's brought to us by Gamakatsu Hooks. And if you like to fish for tuna and you're not using Gamakatsu Hooks, you're missing the bites. Their 720 heavy-duty assist hook is the one for the nighttime jigging. For bait fishing, nothing beats the Nautilus circle hook. They come in sizes as small as a number 4 and all the way up to a 6-aught. And for big fish, a Nautilus HD is tough enough but not oversized. See your local dealer or check Gamakatsu.com. And good morning, Mr. Brian Woolley. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning, Brian.
Good morning. Good stuff in there.
Yeah, having
good morning.
Fun.
Hey, you know, no better place to learn how to properly cast a bait than, you know, a small anchovy on a half-day boat. You know, we tell our guys all the time, you know, master it here so when you're spending money on a longer trip or something, you know, you're confident, you're comfortable, and you can hit the ground running on those longer trips.
Absolutely sure. True. Absolutely true, man. You guys back into the kelp, yep. And then you throw an anchovy after anchovy.
Oh.
It's a blast. It's fun, and you do
learn. Granted, it's, you know, it's on lighter line, so maybe it's a little easier, but, you know, bring something that you're going to be using on that trip, and, you know, no one's going to shame you for getting it, you know, mastered for sure on one of those trips, no doubt about it. But for us up here, solid week of local action. You know, our water, 71-ish, was probably standard for a better part of the week. Our half angler saw some really good sand bass action over the hard bottom spots. Rubber lures, reverse dropper loops, those were like the perfect scenario for those guys. I'd say a half ounce to maybe 1 ounce on the lead heads on the swim baits and whatnot. Got that lure midwater where those sand bass have been hanging out. So it's continued to be some halibut in the mix there as well for the guys at the bottom with the live baits. Those fish, the halibut fish, anywhere from like 5 pounds, just kind of legal fish, to the current had one the other day that was just over 25 in some shallow zones there. So that halibut's been relevant this whole summer, which has kind of been crazy. But that's definitely been in the mix. The calico bass fishing and the kelp has continued to be really current dependent. Our live bait, like I just said, has been some real nice anchovy. So the fly line fishing has been really fun. Small sliding egg sinkers, 1/8 ounce up to maybe 1/4 ounce, perfect to help get that little extra distance. The guys fishing the rubber lures and the hard baits like the Lucky Crafts, those X-Rap, Rapalas, SP Minnows have all been super effective this week as well. I'll tell you the standout lure this week, or multiple lures, was the Alabama rig, the A-Rig, man, has just been lights out this week for the guys fishing those on a little bit heavier monofilament or on some braid. So, like, every cast on the calico bass on those things has been really fun. And then some days we've had some nice bonito in the mix as well, biting the live baits and the small metal jigs like the snipers and something similar to that. Twilight fishing has been good, too. Same mixed bass fishing with some nice sheephead and a halibut or two as well. And then finally, to wrap it up, the Furies had some great fishing out of Clemente and offshore on some of his two-day trips this week. At Clemente, some good yellowtail kind of starting to filter in again. That stuff, the stuff they caught this week, they had a decent hit on yesterday's overnight trip. They had 22 fish. That stuff kind of ranged from 8 to 20 pounds. Marcus texted me this morning, said they're seeing some more fish, a little bit better grade. 20 to 25, 30 pound fish on there. Some of it on the live squid as well. And then the calico bass fishing at Clemente has been very good this week. Also on that live bait, hard baits, surface iron, all that stuff, catching fish too. And then the anglers wanting to fish near the bottom, catching plenty of whitefish and sheephead on the cut squid and whatnot. And then the Fury on those 2-day trips, you know, a little bit of bluefin in their counts too. Weather was a little bit of an issue for those guys this week on those 2-day trips, but, still some bluefin in their accounts to keep that relevant and kind of in play as well. So good mix across the board for our fleet this week. Looking forward to another good week here. You guys want to hop on a trip, give us a call. Our number here, 949-496-5794. Of course, you can hit us on the web as well at danawharf.com.
Sounds like it's firing on all cylinders, Brian.
What a great report.
Right?
You got to love it. Right now, that A-Rig you just brought up.
I know.
You have this potential, and this has happened. You pull in that A-Rig, and all of a sudden you get not only one fish, but how about this? Barracuda, Bonita, and a Calico on an A-Rig.
Yep.
You want to talk about getting torn up.
Wayne's trying to add some dynamic to it.
Yeah. Wasn't a fun
one.
We had
some of that happen this week, yeah.
Yeah,
nice mix, multiple bass on it, maybe a Bonita in the mix on the A-Rig, yeah. And, you know, it's been fun, something different and something cool for the guys to try. So, anyways, that's our report. We'll have another one for you next week, guys.
Awesome.
Well, good stuff, Brian. Appreciate you calling, and look forward to seeing you at Dana Wharf Sport Fishing. Talk to you next week.
Cool. Okay, have a great week, guys. See ya.
Thanks.
All right. You want to take a caller?
Yeah, take a caller.
Let's do it. How about Robert? Robert calling from Canyon Country. Good morning, Robert.
Good morning, guys. Great show as always. I'm going to go off topic a little bit, but with lobster season starting, where can we get information about different harbors? I know, you know, certain ones will let you fish on the inside. Certain harbors, you got to be on the outside. You got to be a certain distance from the break wall. Where can we get that information?
Well, you know, we had, obviously, Eric Hord on here yesterday talking all
about
it.
Craig Schumann.
And I think every harbor, like you said, it's a little bit different. Like, we know San Diego Bay a little bit better than we know Dana Point. But really, Robert, the whole thing with that is to stay out of the navigation lanes. That's number one. And just steer clear of where boats are going to be navigating. And you should be fine. And if you're not, they're going to let you know.
I think, now I'm not sure of this one, but I think the app Fish Legal can help you with that. I'm not 100%, but that one is, as far as I know, very good about telling us where we can fish, what's available, and all of that. And then, unfortunately, the department is building their app. It's just not ready yet.
Right.
So, boy, the best thing is talk to the people that fish the area. They know.
Yeah, that's true.
There's people that specifically fish the different harbors and just talk to them. Talk to them at the ramp. They'll tell you.
Do you lobster fish at all, Brian?
I don't. I lobster eat, though.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I think we all could do that one, right? Exactly.
Perfect. Thanks for the call, Robert.
Yeah, thank you, Robert. And that's just such a neat resource that we have, right?
Yeah.
And having him on the show yesterday was...
Oh, man.
It's pretty cool.
If you did not listen to that show yesterday, it was speed talking about so many different topics.
So much going on.
I mean, it just was, and we tried as best as possible to take as many calls and texts and get it all in there. We could have gone on for six hours.
Craig Schumann, did you listen to yesterday? Craig Schumann, the state biologist, I mean, so much information and so well spoken.
Yeah.
Right? I know, and that's just... like today's show, having Brian and having a good time. And we've got a whole nother hour ahead of us. And we're going to be on 97.3 The Fan, YouTube, Facebook Live. We're going to be talking more cigar aficionado when we return on the Let's Talk a Kebab and 97.3 The Fan.
Hey, this is Captain Benny Florentino, owner-operator of Coastal Charters. Just want to announce that I'll be running the Camus 26 hybrid boat from West Coast Marine in Costa Mesa. Hybrid being a center console with bay boat features. The boat features a Michael Peters stepped hull that'll give both myself and my guests a comfortable dry ride. West Coast Marine in Costa Mesa will be carrying the 26 hybrid, 28 hybrid, and also a 34 cat. Heck, they even have some great looking bass boats. But if you have any other questions, feel free to call Nick Kelly or Kyle Mesa at West Coast Marine in Costa Mesa, and we'll see you on the water.
Take it from Captain Benny Florentino. West Coast Marine in Costa Mesa is your source for Camus boats as well as Parker boats, Yamaha outboards, and now Mercury outboards. Sales and service, the finest you can find. Go see Nick and the guys at West Coast Marine on Newport Boulevard in Costa Mesa, or check westcoastmarine.com.
3 kayaks, 6 surfboards, 10 rods, and 1 truck bound for Baja. That's where my brother and I's most recent quest into the Baja Peninsula began, in search of waves, fish, and fun. We are able to transport all the kayaks, rods, and boards without straps due to the easy transportation of the Hobie iTrack inflatable kayaks. We brought a tandem and 2 singles, the i9 and 11, and they were totally enough to get all 6 of the boys onto some of the best halibut and grouper fishing of their lives. Now, you might be thinking, 3 kayaks? I thought a tandem and 2 singles would only be able to fit 4 people. Well, a simple lawn chair on the back of the kayak was enough to turn the 2 single kayaks into tandems. Catching upwards of 100 fish a day in the mangroves, ranging from 15-pound grouper to tons of legal halibut, we had our fill and headed back to the States. Check out the full video of this trip on our YouTube channel, Fastlane SC, or come by our shop in Mission Bay and check out a Hobie inflatable kayak. See you soon.
Anyone that's been to the East Cape knows Smokey's Curing Company Cantina, the best food and drink in Los Barriles, and a fun place to hang out and watch your favorite sporting event. If you're lucky, you probably had Smokey's process your fish to take home. Their quality and service is top-notch. You'll see me at Smokey's Cantina hanging out with the owner, Chris, and my buddies when fishing in the East Cape. And we always send our fish to be processed at Smokey's, too. Now Chris has added one of the finest boats in the East Cape available for you to charter for a day or more of fishing. Vaquera. It's an immaculate 35 Cabo with a Sea Keeper and Captain Diego Romero, one of Baja's best. If you're looking for a great charter boat when fishing at Palmas, Playa, or other resorts, Vaquera, booked at BajaSmokies.com, should be your choice. So, when you're headed to the East Cape, be sure to stop by Smokey's Curing Company Cantina. Send your fish to be processed there and fish aboard the 35 Cabo Vaquera. Check BajaSmokies.com for more details.